Perfect. So the recording has started. Hello, Claire. Thank you for saying yes to meeting with me to do this oral history. In general, I have been doing a collection, an exhibition. My exhibition is based on Empower Ecuador and community engagement and the transition that we had. So it's kind of like individual for Empower Ecuador and also community engagement in general prior COVID and after COVID-19. So the questions are going to be based on community engagement and Empower Ecuador.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, so the first one is kind of like to get to know you a little bit better. How long have you been the director of the community engagement office? And four, and how does your job align with who you are as a person?
Sure. So I've been in this role almost 6 years, and I've been at St. Mary's just over 10. And, you know, I think for me, working in community engagement is kind of the perfect combination for me. I'm very passionate about social justice and advocacy and direct volunteer service and faith formation. And that's a combination you don't always find perfectly aligned together. And so I think being able to not only find a position that brings together those components and working with university students, but then to do that at a Marianist university is just such a gift. I graduated from a Marianist university. And so I've been around the family and the charism for quite some time now. And yeah, it's just kind of a perfect space for me to both continue growing as a professional, but also as in my personal life, and to have the chance to work with fantastic students day in and day out who just bring such passion and life to our days. And so, yeah, so it's been a really great fit for me.
Yeah, that's nice how like everything that you're passionate about, most of it is all integrated into this position and what you do here at St. Mary's, plus the values of the Marianist University. So that's amazing. And having this in mind, what does community engagement means to you? And how do you think that St. Mary's University demonstrates community engagements through the semesters?
Those are loaded questions.
Yeah, we can do the first part first. So what does community engagement mean to you?
Yeah, I think for me, the root of community engagement is relationships and mutuality, and that sense of, you know, we're on this journey together. And so thinking about that specifically in our office, and what that means for our kind of daily work, it's this idea of we grow with and learn from and walk alongside people in our community, and specifically on the west side of San Antonio, that I think has just such an incredible, powerful gift to offer in terms of the culture and the spirit. And so I think community engagement, you know, in theory is that kind of connection between recognizing and discovering some very acute, tangible concerns in the community and tying that to a larger narrative of justice. And so, you know, I think one of the things that's really important in community engagement is to spend time getting to know a community and getting to first recognize and explore the gifts and the assets of that community, and then trying to turn some attention to where's there room for improvement or where are there needs that can be met. And so again, it's that, you know, recognizing there's tangible needs, but then how does our community narrative and powers of structures of power and justice impact the needs that are present in our community? And the only way to do that is to build relationships and to get to know people and to let them get to know you and try to create that space of reciprocity.
Yeah, I really like, actually, you kind of like were the one that taught me, you know, kind of like this perspective on like serving. Like I feel when people think on community engagement, they think serving. And even though it's kind of like connected somehow, but it's it's not about like just serving, it's more about just being present for the community, and then through relationship finding out which ways can we actually be of use. But before coming and just saying, hey, we're serving, kind of like recognizing the strength and values and everything that that community has to offer, which, yeah, I think it was something you taught me through the class, Empower Ecuador, and I have really carried that with me, like, even today.
Okay.
So, yeah. And so now coming to talk, I started thinking about COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
How was community engagement in our university prior COVID-19? Like, what were the activities, the events, and without thinking of like this global pandemic?
Yeah. So I would say in general, there's always just a lot going on. And when I say that, I mean a lot of like doing, mm-hmm. right? Like we were out volunteering, and we were out, you know, trying to identify where our place was in respect to the needs in the community. And so a lot of service learning classes were happening. You know, I think about our Continuing the Heritage event that would have like 700 or 800 people showing up to volunteer. And I think a lot of our work was very much about being physically present to the needs mm-hmm. in the community. In a way that obviously just got flipped, turned upside down with COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, the core of community engagement never changed. Mm-hmm. That emphasis on how we are striving to build in as humble a way as possible, striving to build community and to better understand the journey of another person, of our neighbors, and to celebrate the gifts of the community and help to alleviate needs. Like, I think that stayed the same. I think, again, it was very like tangible, kind of on the ground, mm-hmm. Structured, I would say, in a lot of ways, the volunteering and the service. And so there was always an event to go to, always a place to go volunteer. You know, you could show up in the office and say like, I want to participate. And it was like, okay, well, you've got these like 7 different things you can choose from, mm-hmm. you know, and like they're happening over the next few days. And so, I think there was a lot going on, and I will say, I think there were a lot of students who wanted to do that, who wanted to be serving, wanted to be volunteering, wanted to be of use, wanted to, you know, physically be engaged in the community, and were able to. And so, I think we've always had that sense of relationship and faith, and that stayed consistently and constantly throughout opportunities for community engagement, but it definitely looked different before COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm glad that you mentioned, like, even though with this difference, like the foundation or like what community engagement office, like what this is for, always stayed the same, and it was constant throughout the changes, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And now looking at the differences a little bit more, like what adjustments did the community engagement did to keep these students, I guess, engaged mm-hmm. also, or maybe participating within the community. So yeah, what adjustments were taken after COVID or during COVID, I should say?
Yeah, I would say during COVID, one, we did a lot more personal outreach to our community partners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always in pretty good communication with them, but we did some additional surveys and assessment work to try to say like, okay, what do you need in light of COVID, mm-hmm. right? Like, how have your needs changed for the population that you serve? And how can we be of help? Like, are you accepting volunteers? If you are, what kind of precautions are mm-hmm. being taken? You know, those sorts of things. So definitely some increased conversation with our community partners, which I think was hard because a lot of them didn't know either, you know, mm-hmm. like,
it's kind of like discovering process.
Like, I think about one of our main community partners who we work with regularly. which is heavily focused on mentorship of middle and high school students. Mm-hmm. You know, and for months it was like, from them, like, we don't really know. We're going to try to do this virtually. It might work. It might not work. We think we might have people back in classrooms in X month, but we're not really sure. And just trying to, I think, accompany and support and journey together with our partners was certainly not something, again, that we weren't doing before, but it was just a different emphasis on mm-hmm. that. I would say one of the biggest changes or shifts that we made was really trying to implement greater opportunities for justice education. Mm-hmm. So if we think about community engagement as kind of this continuum of service and justice, a lot of our work, I think, previously was really focused more heavily in service. And because, and again, that being like meeting immediate needs, like serving at, you know, Haven for Hope or the food bank. And then during COVID, when we couldn't be doing those things, it was like, okay, well, let's kind of swing the pendulum a little bit, because we know that we haven't necessarily done as much work on justice education as we maybe could have been or should have been. And so really creating opportunities for students to explore, for example, you know, food insecurity. Like, okay, you work at the, or volunteer at the soup kitchen or food bank, and you're like really passionate about that and you like going, and that's great. Let's really talk about what food insecurity looks like in San Antonio and read some articles on that and enter into some discussion on that. And what does our faith say about that? And, you know, how are we called to be agents of change in this structure of injustice and insecurity? And so, you know, one of the clearest examples, I think we worked with staff and faculty to build out these community engagement modules and focus on 5 different topics of justice. And each one of those, so we focused on immigration, hunger and homelessness, criminal justice, racism, and environmental justice. And so each one of those modules had a number of different articles and videos and readings and things that people could either watch or read, pretty much. And then had a series of reflection questions to try to get people thinking about that particular area of justice. And then it had action items. So once you've kind of gone through this module of education and learned more about the specifics of that topic of injustice, and then you've incorporated that into your own thoughts and reflection and thought about, like, okay, what is my role in, you know, contributing to environmental justice? Mm-hmm. And then the last part of the module was, you know, okay, here's some next steps. And so here's some organizations that you can become a part of. Here's some further documentaries you can watch. Here's mm-hmm. some places that when they're back accepting volunteers, you can get involved with. And mm-hmm. so we built that out for each one of those areas of justice. And those were then incorporated into classes and groups and organizations to have students engaging in some conversation and dialogue around those different topics.
Yeah, that's great. I really like that. I would like to take a look at those, honestly. Yeah. I guess it feels sometimes that dialogues, like, some people care, some people don't, some people are engaged, some people don't engage, and it's kind of like, I guess in my end, sometimes I'm like, what's the point? But then I'm the one that I'm also super involved in the, like, I learn from it. I also see other people engage in it. And it's kind of like putting those conversations, kind of like those conversations allow to put those issues in the heart of people, indirectly or directly, honestly, despite in the way they engage or not engage. And in the future, it will come to them at some point, and doesn't matter the work they're doing, at least we hope and have faith that those issues and those dialogues are going to stay with them and are going to be reflected in the work that they do.
Yeah, it's so, planting those seeds, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hoping that they sprout and take life mm-hmm. whenever down the road.
But I didn't know about that. That's honestly great. I really like that. And if they're available, would like
to. Yeah, they're all on Canvas, so they're all accessible to anyone at the university. Yeah,
that's great. So obviously, I guess this were this adjustment easy? It was easy to make all these modules, or obviously it took some work, I guess.
No, yeah, it was a lot of work.
Yeah,
it was a lot of work, and I think, you know, it was a lot of work just in terms of. I feel like that for us in community engagement, at least in the pandemic, it was a lot of reactivity,
mm-hmm.
Because we just couldn't proactively plan for what was coming next, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah. I think that for me anyway, I'll speak personally, it was very challenging because I'm a pretty structured person that likes mm-hmm. to, strategically think about what's coming next and mm-hmm. how do we prepare for that in advance. And you just can't.
Yeah,
couldn't do that during COVID. So it was like, okay, let's pivot, you know, and try something new. And so that definitely took a lot of work. I think the other piece of it that we're really intentional about is mm-hmm. recognizing that, you know, we're talking about issues of justice and want to make sure that our conversations are, one, rooted in an acknowledgement of our privilege and power, mm-hmm. right? Like at a university where mm-hmm. we hope that everyone at some point that comes through our doors is going to leave, you know, with a more formal education.
Mm-hmm.
But that is such a luxury and such a privilege. And yes. so thinking about how do we, you know, root ourselves humbly in the privilege that we have and use that to serve the common good. And then also thinking about, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And what does that look like if we're putting together a module on racism? You know, I as a white woman should not be solely putting that together, right? And so mm-hmm. thinking about like, how are we engaging in, you know, really as well-grounded efforts as we can to not just talk about justice, but to live justice.
Yes.
And to, you know, I think we use the word ally a lot when we think about efforts of justice. And we talk about being an ally a lot in terms of anti-racism and LGBTQ services. And I think one of the things that I reflected on a lot in the pandemic is how do we move from being an ally to being an accomplice for good? And what does that mean, right? And kind of the responsibility that it places on us.
Accomplice?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's usually used in a negative way. If you think about an accomplice, it's usually like, oh, you were an accomplice in that like crime or that theft or something. But I think, I don't know the specific translation.
Like you were a witness, but then you.
But like you were active in it.
Uh huh. Like, you weren't active, but you were a witness of it.
No, you were active.
You were active in it?
Yeah. So that's like, for example, if I'm like, I don't know, if somebody's robbing a bank and uh-huh. like you drive the getaway car, mm-hmm. you'd be considered an accomplice, right? Because you didn't go in and rob the bank, but you drove the getaway car that like enabled that person to go in and rob the bank.
I hate this because I know the word in the story. It just went away. Like I know what we're talking about now. Okay. Uh-huh. So moving from being an ally to an accomplice.
Yeah, because I think that's a different level of responsibility, right? Like that's saying, you know, if I am, if I as a white woman am going to be an accomplice
mm-hmm.
to the Black community and to the fight for becoming an anti-racist society, like I can't just say like, yeah, that's really good, I believe in that, I support that. I have to be involved,
mm-hmm.
right? Like yeah. I have to recognize that my skin color and my race is not that of my Black
mm-hmm.
community, but that I have a really deep responsibility in being a part of that mm-hmm. fight for justice. Mm-hmm. And it's not enough to just say I support you. It's not enough to just say, you know, yes, we need to do this. It's how am I actively
like, making change, like,
right? To that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that makes sense. It's easy to say, yeah, I support you. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. But what steps are you taking either in your personal life or in your work life to really make like social justice for either the African-American community or anything related to issues of justice that is going on?
Right. And yeah. I think it's so interesting because the pandemic was happening at the same time we were seeing
these
really deep manifestations mm-hmm. of our roots of racism in this country, you know, yeah. and like we're very focused on the pandemic, as we should be, because it's an immense global health crisis. Mm-hmm. And we have to be aware of these other just as important components that are happening in our society. And, you know, when we think about like George Floyd or Ahmaud Arbery, like how are we making sure that that continues to be a prioritized, not just conversation, but course of action. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of the work that we were doing in terms of justice education needed to be and should continue to be and was rooted in that very necessary conversation specifically around racism. Mm-hmm. And so that came to bear too, right? Like, yes, we were focused on this kind of different approach to community engagement because of the pandemic and kind of limited mm-hmm. Personal interactions mm-hmm. and recognizing that there was a really key point in our national history that was happening and yeah. is happening and needs to continue happening.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm like, oh, these are super deep conversations. Obviously, yeah. Really didn't know about like this transition and well, I don't know. I was thinking like it's gonna be just about how to do like interactions online with the students, and then all these is different and it's great. I really didn't know that all of this was going on within the community engagement office, and it's really surprising and like amazing, in a good way. So okay. So now we're going to transition to the Empower Ecuador okay. program, kind of like to do probably two of the questions, since I'm probably going to be without charge very soon. But I have been really enjoying this conversation about community engagement, honestly. It's great. And I love the way in which you connect all the dots, like, you know, service and justice and how like transitioning towards justice more just because of the situation we were in. So okay, so when talking about the Empower Ecuador, what is the program of Empower Ecuador and how it is connected to community engagement? Another super.
That's okay. No, don't apologize. I love that you're asking these questions. So Empower Ecuador, so Empower stands for, engaging mission through purposeful outreach, holistic education and reflection. Really long title for that.
No, acronym, right? But
but really the point of Empower, whether it's domestic or international, right, mm-hmm. is to again focus in on relationships mm-hmm. within, in this case, you know, we were looking at building relationships with the mm-hmm. Ecuadorian community. Mm-hmm. And through those relationships and exchanges and reflection, thinking about, you know, not just what we're seeing and witnessing and learning and hearing and experiencing, but also the reflection of what is that changing in me and what is mm-hmm. that calling out of me, to offer an opportunity for students to one, further discern their own vocation and how their skill sets and talents and passions meet the needs of the world, mm-hmm. right? And also to think about what does that mean to be a global citizen and an agent of change in our community. And so, mm-hmm. and to do that in our case through a lens of faith. What does that mean and what kind of opportunities but also responsibilities are placed on us as a result of being people of faith and being having the gift of getting to know other communities and other people. So, yeah. You know, I feel like I'm saying the word relationship a lot, but that's so much at the that's heart of everything means, yeah. that we do. And so, you know, whether we're thinking about like our Saturday service sites or Empower or a summer of service, like all of it is about creating those relationships yeah. Of reciprocity and mutuality and growing together. And so Empower Ecuador strives to do that and to really give students an opportunity to experience a culture and a history very different from their own mm-hmm. And think about, you know, how does that change me and influence who I become in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And after it was like, I'm like, yeah, you accomplish everything and that. Like, that's how the class was for me and the course was for me. And it still impacts me today. So having like, I feel like the answer to the question is kind of like already in the air, but how do you feel after the trip was canceled? And as a consequence of that, how do you think that affected the purpose of Empower Ecuador?
So I'm going to start with the second part of your question, because I don't know what would have happened with a different group of people at a different time, right? Mm-hmm. But what I think is so powerful is, and our students are all amazing mm-hmm. across the board, but yeah. I'm a little biased. And I think our group, your group, mm-hmm. For Empower Ecuador that year, just the grace with which you all handled the news of not being able to travel and the adjustments as a professional, like, blew me away. I just don't think I could have like hoped for, or created, or imagined a more humble and grace-filled response than how you all engaged with it. Mm-hmm. And within that, still maintained this deep connection and commitment to the purpose of the program and to the, you know, opportunities that we did have or we created. So, like, you know, I'm thinking about meeting with the volunteers who returned and then writing letters to your prayer partners. Mm-hmm. Like, those were obviously created kind of on a whim because we didn't know really how else to transition that. But you all just engaged with that so powerfully that I pray that the purpose of it was still there. But I think in large part that was because of who was around the table. Yeah. So I think that was really, it was special, is like, probably sounds too trite, but it was a really beautiful experience to witness. Yeah. I will be really honest that I was super disappointed mm-hmm. that we couldn't travel. And even though I feel like in many ways you all as a group, like, humbled me to think about, okay, what really is the purpose and how are we, mm-hmm. Honoring the space that not just we're in, but most importantly, our neighbors are in, since mm-hmm. specifically in our case, like, it was our partner in Ecuador that had to cancel it. It wasn't canceled like by the university, but it was our mm-hmm. partner that said, you know, we can't receive you right now. I think it was sad and hurt me because Ecuador is such an incredible and special place for me that, like, one of the best parts of my job and one of the things I most look forward to working with students is getting to be that bridge and mm-hmm. to invite students into this place and these relationships that are so, so integral to who I've become and mm-hmm. and to, I think, a way that we live out our charism. And, you know, Rosario Cristo is not a Marianist program, but I think it so perfectly aligns with our charism. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really selfish space that I just love getting mm-hmm. to invite y'all in, and then watching you invite in our neighbors in Ecuador and them invite you in, and just this really powerful exchange. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely disappointed mm-hmm. that we didn't get to go. And, you know, y'all had put in so much work and time, and that we had overcome already, I think, quite a few hurdles and, like, mm-hmm. Just like different challenges that were arising throughout the preparation time, to then, like, the day before have to make that call. Like, it was difficult, but but I'm so grateful for your group, for you, and the mm-hmm. way that you all kind of engaged in that space. I think it was really beautiful.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel that as you talk about what the purpose of Empower Ecuador and Empower everything around us, I guess, is, like, for sure, like the purpose was accomplished through the class, you know. And it was a real, I feel like really challenging for us, because throughout the journey of like preparing to that moment, we were talking about how to empower other communities, not only Ecuador, but also learning about Ecuador and also learning about the importance of being present. And I guess it was a journey of learning how to be present through different means, you know, not only physically present, but after COVID it turned into how can you be present with someone even when you cannot be physically there, which I feel was very useful for the time of COVID in general, emotionally. and also just the reflection on how are we going to apply everything that we learned throughout that semester in that class in our daily lives and in our professional life in general. So I feel it was really like powerful and useful in every way. Like, even though like we didn't got to travel, I was gonna tell you that Monica actually she looked me on Facebook and says my name is so difficult to find.
Yes. She found you?
She found me and she sent me a message telling me that she received the letter.
Oh,
and
I love that.
Just saying thank you and things like that. And it was random because,
oh, so
yes, it was random because you know how in Messenger there is people that are not your friends, so it kind of like separates the message. I'm never a Messenger, but that day I decided to check and it was one message and I was like, Monica, what the heck is she talking about? And then I think and think and I'm like, oh my God, Monica from Empower Ecuador. And we just started chatting and we're about to like make a call. We haven't done it, but
oh my goodness,
but
I
we have been talking. Yeah. So I actually did in my exhibition, or well, the archive that I'm working with, I took a screenshot without her name on it. About like our conversation and how she said thank you, and that part of my exhibition is called Ways to Be Connected despite social distance, and kind of reflecting on how COVID was bad, not being present was bad, you know. It was sad and it really took a lot from everybody of us despite our socioeconomic status and everything. And just how to be present despite social distance. And I think, Empower Ecuador did impact me in very amazing ways. So,
I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And of course, Monica does not at all surprise me.
because
she's got such an amazing personality. And she's so, like, she's a go-getter. So, she would be like, let me look her up and see if I can find her.
I mean, just in case.
Oh, I love that.
But no, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing this time with me and answering some of these questions. Again, this is kind of like going to be saved in an archive in general to see in the future, probably what was our experience through COVID and what we learned. And in general, my emphasis on my exhibition in general is like, yes, there were like bad moments, and obviously it was sad for all of us and many people that were affected by COVID and that are still getting affected. But you know, what happened in between all these messes is that what was really helpful for us in different ways. I don't know. And I'm just taking the Empower Ecuador experience as an example for that and how we grew, you know, even through the the many challenges and many things that happened. And honestly, I feel that Empower Ecuador was during the right moment because the class was so reflective, so connected with like who God is and who we are as a person and what is our role, that it really like empowered me to be okay during COVID. And even right now, I really look back to what happened. I still have the books I love, boiled. I'm still dreaming. I'm going to California.
He's coming out with a new book, you know. I think it's supposed to be released soon. But
yeah.
He's gonna have a new one.
Well, in general, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for asking these questions, Rosetta. Yeah. This was really good. And I just appreciate so much you making notes to say this is an important piece of the story.
Yes.
So I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully, let's see.